Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago and lions shall break every chain. The conquering lions shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again, give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him victory again.
Turn it over to you guys.
Okay, Brother Drew, we're studying with Jews, Judaism, with people that just tune in, don't know what we're studying. We're studying Yehudaism, Judaism in this language, and one of the mysteries and sacred books that the Jews go by is called Tetragrammaton. It's the teaching of YHW, YHVH, JHWH, and JHVH. So when I was studying this, Brother Drew and Sister Yasharal, I noticed that this was broke down into three different doctrines, which was called the Y Doctrine, the I Doctrine, and the J Doctrine. The Y Doctrine was the teaching of Yahwehism, and ism means the study of. We're speaking in this language, And all of the human beings on earth, in all four hemispheres, the way of life was called Yahwehism. The language that everybody spoke was called Yahwehism. It is the only language that has the name of the school of thought in it. The tenth sign and symbol in the language is YA. The language has a male and a female side to it. YAH is the feminine side. The number that this language carries is the number 10, meaning that everything that you see, the number 10 represents everything that you see in nature. It's a geometry. When you see the Masonic Lodge or a Mason, he's got a G, and that don't stand for God. That stands for geometry, meaning that the whole universe is geometry, and that's include you. And in your Bible, you would see, for what is a man profit if he gains the world and loses his own health? Well, the rulers of the kingdom on earth, in bed with broken help, would give up their kingdom to have good help to the lowest slave, brother Drew and sister. The good foundation of success that the ancient taught was good help is the reward received by one who earns it, meaning that the person that had the mind, that could conquer his mind and from within the inner being of the mind, that person that could conquer, well, the body was so designed that it would live forever. It was dealing strictly with dietary laws. Now, the original people, all of them met. Now, you have forbidden foods that the people in the Y-Doc didn't eat. The I-Doctrine, it's when gods came into existence, and this god was a Latino god called Jesus, which is Krishna, which is Druid. Jesus is, Jesus is Anglo-Saxon, the Druid god of the Anglo-Saxons, and Christo is the black god of the Hindu as the Trinity. When you study Hinduism and Yehudiism, you'll find all of this out. This is Christos. Krishna was the first name in this language. These are the first Christians. This is when Christianity first got it started. So when it got it started in the 6th century, the Messianic Jews created these vowel points because the speaking of the name of Yah was forbidden for anybody to say it. So they put it in alphabets and stuff that you could not understand, because if you read the history of the people, and we only have the history of the people that believe in the Y doctrine, the ones that could get their minds to a certain condition had great powers, not from a god. They said it came from their obeying their father and their mother. The father gives the laws of Yahwehism. The mother, break that back, the mother gives the laws of Yahwehism, and the father gives the commandments of Yahwehism, meaning that if you had this belief into a holy trinity, it means that the female is the top. She's first of this holy trinity, not the male. The male became first with the teaching of Christianity. And if you go back into ancient history, it was the goddess. Even if you go into your Bible at Psalm 68:4, in this King James Revised Version of Yahwehism, it clearly tells you that the God of heaven is named Jah, J-A-H. J-A-H is the Anglo-Saxon doctrine of Christianity up on the Angelic Gospel Christian Episcopal teaching, which is a revised version of the Western Hemisphere of the original religion of Christianity, which came out of Constantine time of the Druids and the old pagan Druids and old pagan Hindu peoples when they amalgamated in the two gods together and said that they put these two gods together. And I find it very interesting, Sister Yasharal and Brother Drew, that I noticed something. Jesus is the Druids' God, chief God at that day and period in time. And this was the white nation of people. Now, Krishna was the black god of Hinduism. I find it very interesting when we go to theology school, they'll tell you that Jesus, meaning the Jewish God, is his name, and his title is the black god, Krishna. I find that very interesting. That's racism. When we really get out on studying the history of these white boys, we can see racism right there in the teaching of the doctrine, in the teaching of the Angelic Gospel Episcopal Theology School up on the theology. Well, then this is what they'll teach you, that Jesus is the name and Christ is the title. So the black part of him is just the title, but the real deal was the Hindu god of Jesus. There are just two conditions of the body. There are good health and bad health. The symptoms of bad health is what doctors are trained to study and give empty names like diagnosis, which mean nothing, and turn them diseases that kill the patient unless treated according to the teaching of medical arts. There are signs. In other words, they are not taught to cure the disease, only to treat the disease. The present-day white boy doctors that we have, they don't have the knowledge of curing a disease. They only have the knowledge of treatment of the disease. Men can live for weeks without eating, but when he stops living is when he stops breathing. So we see through, to preserve health, the air must be in motion and free of pollution. Stagnant air in your homes, your hospitals, your bedroom, your stores and shops is foul, just like stagnant water. So to keep your house aired out, as Big Mama and them used to call it, they air out the clothes by washing them with lye soap and hanging them up on the clothesline and let the sun bleach them out. Those was the old ways that people purified the house and kept diseases away. We was disease free until we started this. After 1960, we can see where we went backwards from a whole lot of the original teaching. And our health started falling, and what happened to us. So we see that air is very important about your air. The second thing is water is next. The greatest part of your blood and your body consists of fluids. To promote health, all water entering the body must be purified. So when we using tap water and just call you got Osaka, That don't mean shit. The remedy of purifying your water is for you to boil it. And so you wonder why Big Mama and them used to boil the water and then they drank it when it came out the well. Well, this is the reason. You get all the, kill all the parasites and all that bullshit about white folks say you boil water, which is really distilled water, and I wouldn't trust them on their distilled water. I still would boil it, even if before I drink it or do anything with it, because they call it distilled. That don't mean shit. You distill it yourself. You have the knowledge to distill the water yourself. So when you can distill the water yourself through boiling it, then you know that what you done did, you got the right shit. The Bible teaches that the kingdom is from within. They tell you this in Luke 17:21. We don't get esoteric knowledge out the Bible, how they put it in the old teaching. The kingdom consists of the all, and the all means you. You are the all. You are I am that I am, the all. Yeah, they bullshitted you in Deuteronomy with go tell them I am. And then when Moses went down there, he told him, hell, I am, sent me, meaning his own self. He sent himself. So we can't be bullshitted about a whole lot of stuff that we have been bullshitted about. The human frame as a machine is perfect when it's developed in the womb of a female. This machine is perfect till it comes out, and when it comes out, it becomes imperfect. And it's very necessary the food that the female eats when she's pregnant. It affects the baby and its growth. You are what you eat. And so by studying the Texagrammaton, it breaks down how to get perfection from within. And all of your guys try to get this book. It breaks down your consciousness of your mind. It takes you off into people that already got this knowledge. It puts you on a higher level of learning how to control your mind and make your mind do what you know is right and what you know that your mind have to do is to make it travel to the next level. Your mind has to be in a certain level. So with that, I'm going to turn you over to Sister, and she's going to explain something that to us also in taking out the rest of this Texagrammaton. RNA is more important than DNA, and I've noticed that the teaching is DNA. Nobody, then you ask somebody what RNA is, they ain't never heard of it because I did a Ligma test. I always test people. I ask them, you know what RNA is? And they know they don't. So Sister Yasharal is going to enlighten us also with that knowledge of what we need to know about ourselves based upon that. And I turn you over and put you in the hands of the sister.
Thank you, Brother Dwyer. And Brother Dwyer wanted me to complete this information by Hilton Hotima first before I go into a little mini presentation that I have prepared. And the next thing that we're going to study, before I go ahead, though, I want to review a little bit about the Tetragrammaton that I discussed last week and how the Kabbalist and the ancient used these particular letters to represent the element. The element fire is represented by the I, the element water by one of the H's, element air by the V, and the element earth with the second H. And also, four elements of the Tetragrammaton are linked to the planets, and I'll give you a little example of that. A Leo would be fire, which is I-V-H-H. Water could be Pisces, which is IVIH. Gemini is air, which is VHHI. And Earth would be Taurus, which is HHVI. So then I'm going to move ahead and finish this information that Otima wants to share with us. And the second part of this presentation about the Tetragrammaton is really talking about consciousness and the air we breathe. And so we observed that the four qualities of vitality, and remember I told you the astro is a name also used for your emotions, but it's also used for a substance that's just beyond our comprehension. And your so the four astral qualities of vitality, consciousness, mind, and intelligence, are aspects of brain function. That the seed of vitality being so important, it's better protected from damage than the rest. There is a highly important factor involved here that must not be overlooked. Yes, sir? Did you say something? There is a highly important factor involved here that must not be overlooked. While consciousness, mind, and intelligence are entirely brain function aspects, vitality is not exactly so. In addition to brain function, there must be suitable air to breathe, or vitality ends. Vitality ends quickly if the air one breathes is badly polluted. In the case of slightly polluted air, kind that is breathed by man in this civilization from the cradle to the grave, death creeps on slowly by impeccable degrees, as Professor Hotima has explained in details in his great work titled Man's Higher Consciousness. And these sinking stages exhibited by the body as it slowly settles towards the grave appears as symptoms of distress, as the body struggles to live under conditions which the great Carrel said made life itself impossible. And we quote him, and a lot of times your body will create situations to protect itself. For example, if your body becomes too acid, as opposed to being balanced acid and alkaline, if it becomes too acid, then it becomes mucus to kind of protect itself. So as Carrel says, in truth, our civilization, like those preceding it, has created certain conditions of existence which render life itself impossible. These are the exact words of one of the greatest doctors of this century, and these symptoms of distress as the body settles towards the grave are given various names by the medical arts, which means nothing at all, and are treated by doctors as though they were actual entities that were attacking the body and trying to destroy it. They are called diseases, and medical art brings about the bitter war it is waging against disease. So they brag about this bitter war they're waging against disease. Just give us more millions of your dollars for research, says the medical arts, and we'll rid the world of disease. If a man desires to increase his state of consciousness and rise to the high level where he is able to control, influence, and dominate others, he is here learning how that is done. He must first improve the condition of his own body and brain in order to increase his own consciousness. And that is the secret to which Professor Hotima devoted his attention to in his work just mentioned, Man's Higher Consciousness. That work should be studied by all who desire better health, longer life, and a higher level of consciousness. And that's the end of that. And what I'm going to talk about today is just give you a brief explanation of DNA and RNA. And I've eliminated a lot of the medical jargon. And before I start off, I want to say those who love wisdom must investigate many things. Because a lot of times when you're studying, wisdom has different levels of understanding and interpretation that's based on which rung of the ladder you happen to be on that time. So DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, is a complex protein of high molecular weight substance found in the cells of all living things. And a molecule, it talks about it's a high molecular weight. the molecule is designated by the number of atoms it contains. For example, monoatomic is one atom, diatomic two, triatomic three, tetratomic four, pentatomic is five, and hexatomic is six. So it doesn't really, I didn't find any information telling me exactly how many atoms this molecule has, but it's a high weight. Okay, and it's found in the cells of all living things. And they have a complex chemical structure being formed of sugar, phosphoric acid, and nitrogen. And it has, actually it has four purines, which is the end product of the nucleic protein digestion, which is the language. And the language that the DNA uses, what they're talking about here, what I'm going to name next is these purines, and they're adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thionine. Okay, DNA is arranged as two long chains which twist around each other to form a double helix joined by bonds in between the complementary components. Nucleic acid is present in the chromosomes of the nucleus of cells and is the chemical basis of heredity and carrier of genetic information for all organisms except RNA. And we'll talk about RNA a little bit later. And some of this information may be a little bit repetitive because I use three sources for my information. I use a book called The Cosmic Serpent, DNA and the Origin of Knowledge by Jeremy Narby. I got a little bit of information from Infinite Love is the Only Truth by David Icke, and another book, DNA by James Watson. And I got a little bit of information off the internet, but I eliminated a lot of that medical terminology. DNA appears also in ancient myths as an esoteric representation of a serpent. If you follow the myth of the cosmic serpent, you will find it's represented in Egypt as a serpent that has a double head. It has a single body, but it has a double head. The Aztecs, Quetzalcoatl, plume serpent, it's not a real animal at all. Snakes don't have arms, legs, wings, or feathers. What the flying serpent spoken of in Daniel 14 and 29 is kind of a paradox. It's like a speaking mute.
And this Sister
Yes,
Yashua,
yes.
In America, let's throw this in. In America, it's known as the double-head eagle.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Part of the Masonic order is they call it the double-head eagle here in America. This esoteric knowledge is hid up in base schools. Go ahead. I find it amazing that you're coming through that. You did some good studying.
Mm-hmm.
But America is the double-head eagle. That's the reason you got that great seal of the United States of America. She's telling you a part of it. And then when you become a double-head eagle Mason, well, you can go back and trace that history. Go ahead on, sister.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Enjoying this.
Okay, the word quetzalcoatl,
right.
This is confirmed by the double etymology of the word coatl, which means both serpent and twin. So then again, it's like, and another explanation of that is like the two-headed eagle that you just mentioned, and in Egypt it has a serpent with one body, but it has two heads. The ancient Egyptians also represented the cosmic circle with human feet, suggesting that the primordial divinity is double, both serpent and non-serpent. So this is just representations of some of other information they want to share. There are many examples of double serpents of cosmic origin associated with the creation of life on Earth, but they also have several other esoteric meanings. So it depends on what level you happen to be studying at the time. If we stretch out the DNA contained in the nucleus of a human cell, you would obtain 2-yard-long threads that is only 10 atoms wide. This thread is a billion times longer than its own width. It's as if your little finger stretched from Paris to Los Angeles. The nucleus of a cell is equivalent in volume to 2 millionth of a pinhead. The 2 yard yards of DNA packed into the minute volume by coiling upon itself endlessly. The average human being is made up of a large amount of these cells. Now, in my studying, I found, you know, different amounts. Some said 1,000 billion, some say so many million. So, but anyway, it made of large amounts of these cells. This means there is approximately 125 billion miles of DNA in a human body. Imagine that. All cells in the world contain DNA, be they animal, vegetal, or bacteria, and they are filled with salt water, in which the concentration of salt is similar to that of the worldwide ocean. We cry and sweat what is essentially sea salt. DNA bathes in water, which in turn plays a crucial role in its establishing a double helix shape. DNA four bases, like I mentioned, there's going to be some repetition here. DNA's four basic language is spoken through adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. They tuck themselves into the center of the molecule, where they associate in pairs to form the rungs of the ladder. Then they twist up into a spiral stack to avoid contact with the surrounding water molecule. And I want to say a little bit about the water molecule, too. That was a doctor from the East that did a study on water, and what he discovered is that when you speak to water, the molecules in the water change. If you speak words of love and praise and sing beautiful songs to the water, the molecules assume beautiful shapes and forms. And if you speak angry words to the water, you get these weird, distorted forms. And the way he did that, he did experiments with the water, and he froze it some kind of way, and then he examined the molecules, and that's how he discovered that. So just think, our body is, what, about 70 or 80% water? We should speak those positive words of affirmation to ourselves. The DNA twisted ladder shape is a direct consequence of the cell's watery environment. DNA goes with water. I mean, they work together. The DNA molecule is a single long chain made up of two interwoven ribbons that are connected by the four bases, which I mentioned earlier, and they match up in specific pairs. Again, the A, the adenine, and the thymine match together. The guanine and the cytosine match together. And any other pairing of these bases is impossible because of the arrangement of their atoms. This means that one of the two ribbons is the back-to-front duplicate of the other, and that the genetic text is double. It contains a main text on one of the ribbons, which is read in a precise direction by the transcription enzyme. Okay, and a backing text is inverted, but it's most often not read. So the text is written on the front and the back, but the transcription enzyme, which is the RNA, reads the front, and the back is there with that same information just as a backup. RNA, which is ribonucleic acid, controls protein synthesis in all living cells. RNA carries the code for specific amino acid sequences from the DNA to the cytoplasm. And the cytoplasm is the substance around the cells, and it's in the blood. RNA is often found as a single strand, not like DNA, that's a double strand. RNA is often found as a single strand that kind of folds back onto itself rather than a paired double strand like the DNA. Cellular organisms use messenger RNA to convey genetic information using the letter G, H, U, and C. And the only difference here is instead of the thiamine, it has U, which is uracil. Okay, it plays an active role within the cells controlling gene expression and also sensing and communication responses to cellular signals. So the cells speak to each other. They share information. Every area in your body knows what's going on in the other portion of your body. It directs the assembly of proteins on the ribosomes, and the ribosomes are a small portion of the cell structure. It could be a single structure or it can be a cluster, but they send the signals to the ribosomes. Okay, and this process uses transfer RNA. So you have messenger RNA, and then you have transfer RNA that transfer the message or send the message. DNA and its duplication mechanisms are the same for all living creatures. The only thing that changes from one species to another is the order of the letters. The order of the letters. Our DNA is the body's genetic library found in every cell, and we have about 100 million. It is DNA that carries the code of our physical characteristics. It contains in excess of 100 trillion times more information than our most sophisticated storage devices. The known DNA codes represent roughly only 3 to 5% of the mapped human genome, and the other 95 to 97% is not yet understood by conventional science. And they tend to call it junk DNA because they haven't figured out what its function is, but it most definitely has a function or it wouldn't be there. The DNA in all life carries the same code, as I mentioned again. Several times I've been repeating this. Adenine, guanine, thymine, and cytosine. Okay, now also, you know, when they use the crystals in the radios because of the crystals' ability to receive signals and transmit signals, well, DNA is a crystalline structure, a receiver, transmitter, and amplifier. DNA also emits a photon signal, which are electromagnetic waves, which correspond to the narrow band of light, and I'm not so sure what the narrow band of light is. But it sends these signals at such regularity that researchers compare this phenomena to a weak laser. The DNA is a double helix, which unravel looks like two ladders. Although some researchers believe that there were many more DNAs, and sometimes you read in the ancient literature where they talk about at one time we have 12 strands of DNA, and some scientists believe that. And the early teaching was that the 12 chakras, we have 12 chakras, and 7 are in the body and 5 are said to be outside the body. And they said that these 12 chakras correspond with the original 12 strands of DNA. And speaking of the Masons, Brother Dwyer, I read that the winding staircase that they talk about in Masonry is talking about the DNA because it is a key to human control, and the same symbols are to be found in the secret mystery schools of the ancient world. The sequence of A, G, C, T decides the genetic characteristics that your body will look like. DNA is a universal software. It's like a computer. DNA is a universal software code. DNA massively magnified, it would look like a snake, and hence the major symbol throughout the ancient world. It was the double helix snake image known today as the caduceus, the symbol of the medical profession. And you remember with Moses in Numbers 21 and 8 and 2 Kings 18 and 4, he made the Nehushtan, the copper serpent, wrapped around the pole. And if you were bitten, you could look upon this serpent and you would live. the DNA from the father and the mother are downloaded onto a new disc, the fusion of both the baby. This is how genetic characteristics and defects are passed on. Each individual has 46 chromosomes in our body. Chromosomes are structures in the nucleus of cells containing threads of DNA which transmit genetic information. Okay, each person has 46. And when you're trying to create a child, the father contributes 23 chromosomes, and the mother contributes 23 chromosomes. The ovum or egg cell contains an X chromosome only. The spermatozoa contains an X and a Y. Therefore, the father determines the sex of the child. If the father's Y chromosome combines with the mother's X chromosome, you have an XY combination and a male child is produced. If the father's X chromosome breaches the sanctum of the ovum to combine with the mama's X chromosome, you have an XX chromosome, a female child is produced. The Y chromosome can only be passed on to sons, because the man carries the X and the Y, and the mama only has the X. And I remember when the sister was on the program before, and she talked about the rib and deoxyribonucleic acid being referring to the DNA. Well, I want to graft on my little branch to her tree. Yes, it is Adam's rib, his chromosome in the DNA that determines if an Eve will be born or if an Adam will be born. Fathers determine the sex of the child. Okay, now the mother is the only one capable of passing mitochondria DNA cells to her offspring. It is passed on without splitting or recombining with any DNA from the father. All mitochondria DNA can be traced back to one single woman living in the motherland, 130 to 150 to 250,000 years ago. Spermatozoa cells does contain a few mitochondria DNA cells, but they are tossed away in the process of fertilization. Therefore, only the ovum cell contributes mitochondria DNA to the next generation, just only as the Y chromosome is passed on to ensure that, you know, we have male children. Now it is known that a dysfunction or mutation of mitochondria DNA creates or gives markings for debilitating diseases in the human heart, the skeletal muscles, the kidney, vision, hearing, and brain function. The RNA reads the DNA and passes the information to the cells, which part of the DNA it chooses to read and communicate is controlled by the force that controls the RNA. They don't know, so they say it's controlled by the force that controls the RNA. We know who that is. The RNA decides cell function, by which information it chooses to transcribe from the DNA. So if it transcribes a certain particular information, then this can become a brain cell. It can become a liver cell. It can become a heart cell. The DNA stores the information, and the RNA chooses which to select and manifest. And that's kind of the end of my presentation, because I eliminated a lot of medical jargon.
Well, I've enjoyed refreshing my memory, and I hope that the people that's listening will understand that we're teaching esoteric knowledge. And when we deal with Adam and Eve, we know that signs, symbols, coming up under signs and symbols, So when we study this esoteric knowledge, that means we study with signs, symbols, and numbers, language, and which is etymology. And you when you study it other ways, you don't miss a thing. I want to touch down a little bit briefly on some disturbing stuff that disturbed my mind to the point of me asking myself a question. Brother, you there, Brother Drew? Brother Drew? You there, Sister Arlene?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess Brother Drew he stepped out on us. But, Sister, I asked myself a question, and each one of us can ask ourselves a question. I noticed things that's going on Earth, especially things that's out of the ordinary, meaning that you notice that this trend has came into existence. And this all started when the exit generation got about 18 years old. If you are the baby boomer generation, we are now studying the history of the X, Y, and millennium generation of people. That means that we are studying the history of your children and your grandchildren, and in some cases, great-great-grandchildren. And the people that's writing history is this nation of people. It ain't the baby boomers. You already done wrote your history. And the history of these people, if you can notice, the X generation, the Y generation, and the millennium generation, one word that they don't understand, and that's the word no. That's not right. They don't understand that. None of that is comprehension to them. The word no means total rejection to them, and they'll get laws passed that if it's something to reject them, like homosexuality or certain things that you know that's wrong, that you see all of these laws come into existence, that is, that's the X, Y, and millennium generation of people history. It's not the baby boomer's history. It's what you don't produce as a baby boomer and come in with liberalism, the teaching of liberalism, which come through the Democratic Party. And you quit teaching the conservative party. And black folks have went off and to become total liberal. Well, one of the most disturbing things to me that I've seen is the worship of Anubis. And all of the people that have studied the history of Egyptian know that Anubis is the dog god. The worship of the dog in America is, as we speak, is outrageous to the point that every Dallas news broadcasting radio station advertises two or three times a day, because I watch the news to see what's going on in this crackers world and see what changing thing, like this is what I noticed. The dog. They got dogs instead of people up for adoption. They show these dogs. He got his shot. He's been to the vet. He did this. And they did this for him, and they feed him this, and they feed him that, and they got him dressed up in baby clothes and all of this. But the worship of the dog, Anubis, is high right now. And so I'm going to talk on that about the dog, because, see, the dog has a great history, and we can understand that. Why white people would tell you that a dog is a man's best friend, that wasn't black people, because it's clearly understood in when we were the black race of people before we was conquered by the white man, we wouldn't touch or own anything that had a paw. And that's also told to you in the Bible. Don't let nothing touch you. It's an abomination that has a paw. A dog has a paw. But the reason white folks, sister, love dogs so, in their DNA, and you can go do some research, and they'll tell you right now that they got dog DNA in them simply for one reason. Why they got dog DNA? That's the question that we have. Who raised this Germanic race of people, this Roman, sister? Do you remember when you studied the history of the Germanic race of people? I understand. I had to call Cole because it worried me for several weeks. I understand why white folks love dogs so goddamn much is because the dog is their mama. Because it's clear in their history that Romanus and Ruminus was raised by a she-dog. And all you got to do, you can go look. If you ain't got the picture, I got them where these two boys is sucking on this dog's titty. Well, hell, if you go to their scientists right now, their doctors, they say they got reason they love dogs so well is because it's in their DNA. This behavior that human beings got of the dog is come from an Aryan belief in an Aryan nation of people. So I'm gonna do my next lecture on this because it's a disturbing. We gonna see what the dog is. Malachi, y'all got a great book out called The Dog that I studied with him on that and did research. I always research the researchers and go back to see if they really telling the truth, and then I ain't going to have no problems with an argument. But until next week, I'll say Shema Yahawadah, Yah Aben Yah, Ika Kamaydiyah.
Yah Shalom.
Yah Shalom.
Kamaydiyah.